Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Starter Shed Podcast. I'm Matthew Weir and I'm joined by Kerry Warbis. Peter Fickling, man down. Turns out he doesn't have Jakob levels of labelling of his boxes, which I'm quite surprised by. He can't find anything. So he's looking for the box of vital podcast equipment, which I guess is like PC and stuff like that. Yeah, he's gone a bit Kate, hasn't he? He's kind of no tech. We think he might be living in a teepee up a hill. we're not entirely sure. There is a house.
He's balls deep in boxes, isn't he? And he boasted to us that he loves packing and putting everything neatly away, and he can't bloody find anything this week. So don't know what's happened.
Well, I mean, loves packing, might not like unpacking.
Unpacking
quite
yeah.
so much. Putting everything into boxes. Great.
Yeah. So that is a shame. We'll miss Peter. I wanted to. Oh, he did actually write to us a few things, didn't he?
He did.
I asked
he did.
Him to say what he's thought of the week in Ambridge. Are we having Coat Gate 2?
What was he referring to with that?
No idea. Kirsty or Kate make a mistake and go for the wrong brother. By mistake. Oh, that must be what he means.
Okay, so those two things are linked. I don't think they look that alike, do they? They're not twins.
Well, I mean, Kate was super astonished by the likeness, wasn't she?
Yeah, she did. It did stop her in her tracks, didn't she, when she said, I'm sorry, but you look so much like him.
She kept giggling and stuff. Is it confusing for our listeners that me and Matthew sound alike, apparently, and now Eric does too?
Eric sounding like Jakob, not like me and Peter.
Yeah.
Eric is, blimey. I mean, I was making some cheese on toast when Eric arrived in the show and all my clothes fell off as he started to talk.
He has got an amazing voice. I'm sure I've heard it somewhere before.
I think it's the continuity guy on Talk Sport.
Yeah, it's definitely, he's got a voice for continuity and voiceovers and film, you know, those film adverts where they say, in a world.
Well, the guy who did those died, and then a guy that used to impersonate him got the gig afterwards.
But then
those type of trailers didn't really, they kind of went out of fashion a bit. But I read an interview with someone that spent like a few days with that guy that used to do those original ads. He said, like, he just has that voice, everything he did, like
all the time.
His grandkids were there and he goes, okay children, go and hide and I will find you.
In a while, we'll be having dinner.
It was a place where everything was legal. There's all those kind of ads from like the late 80s, early 90s. They loved that guy, didn't they?
They're good, aren't they? I bet he made a bloody fortune.
Actually, I mean, speaking of making a fortune, let's have an ad.
Okay.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've started Eric chat. Should we just go straight in with Eric?
Yeah, why not? I am very worried and think he's a wrong'un, and I trust Jakob. I nearly said Jacob.
Jacob?
Who's Jacob? He's the third brother. I trust Jakob implicitly, and if he has said that Eric is not very nice and is one to watch out for, a bit of a wrong'un, and now Kate and Alice are going, what was Jakob talking about? He's really lovely. I just think there's something afoot with this guy.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm glad he's here.
I went full tabloid journalist and wrote in massive letters, in all caps in my notes, love rat, and underlined it. So I don't know if that's something I mean, he travels a lot for work, doesn't he? He's not completely open about what he does.
Exactly.
Massive drugs trafficker, possibly.
Yeah, he saw that conference stuff, wasn't it? Oh, I do stuff with conferences. When I heard that, though, I did think, oh, God, he's going to, I bet Grey Gables Revisited is going to have a conference centre as part of it. And he could be the conference and event strategy planner or whatever the job title was and hang around because of that.
Yeah. What's got into Kirsty?
He has. With a bit of wild water.
I mean, in terms of real time events, that's probably happening right now as we
it
speak,
is.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But her voice, she was very sexy. As soon as she came on mic in that, hang on, well, she almost did.
Did she come on mic as well?
Not Mike Tucker.
Oh, I say.
No, like her voice, when she appeared on the show, shall we say, on the microphone, she was on heat, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's grasping that nettle, isn't she?
Yeah.
She knows what she wants. It was quite refreshing, I think. She knows he's around for a week. Well, so he says, he may end up being the conference person. But in her mind, what she knows is he's around for a short amount of time. She obviously liked the look of him, thought, right, let's get to the nub of this, or the knob of this. Asked if he was single. He said he was. Now, is he? We don't know. I bet Jakob comes back and says no.
If what he says is to be believed, and you say that probably none of it is, him and Jakob don't talk enough, because there was that whole gaffe where he was like, you're very accommodating for a landlady.
Yeah.
Well, he said landlord, actually, didn't he?
Yeah, she did not like that, did she? We've been together for 2.5... I'm his life partner. Oh, why have I said life partner? I don't know why I've said that. Here's the thermostat.
I did have some real laugh out loud moments at the Archers this week. Occasionally, like, you get a week where it's just, you know, I get the giggles when I'm listening to it. So what has happened to the Adil-Kirsty romance? They just poured piss all over that, didn't they? I really feel like they were trying to set that up.
They were.
Didn't he have to pull his trousers down because she spilt like hot tea on him or something? And then all of a sudden, Adil's no longer in the show or barely in the show. Mm. And then when he comes back, he's off with Lily. Because there was a point where Adil was like, oh, I won't be staying tonight, Linda. I'm staying at a friend's. And everyone was like, it's Kirsty.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's not happening anymore.
Yeah, because they've gone down the route of that old chestnut where it's a couple at loggerheads with him and Lily who eventually come to love each other, which is a right old trope, isn't it? You're right, though. How has that all happened? What happened to him and Kirsty?
I mean, it does make for a better story. Me, you and Peter were talking about this on the chat. I think I said that our Russ would get a job at Grey Gables in some kind of artistic capacity.
Yes, yes.
And it's far messier if Lily is with Adil and then Russ gets hired, because you have to ask, how much does Adil actually know about Russ in all of that? And Russ's departure obviously was all kicked off by the allegation from Tracy that he was the father of Chelsea's baby. And in fact, also, Chelsea nearly offed Adil's mate with a nut, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
In the orangery. So it's all quite interwoven, this whole thing.
Yeah. And then we'll have Eric working at the conference centre in Grey Gables, as well as Russ in the art, whatever it was, thing that they were going to have there. So they'll all be intertwined. And Adil will be... You see, the thing with Grey Gables is when it's up and running and fully functioning, does Adil then disappear and go off to another project that he's overseeing?
Well, we're led to believe that he's just a representative, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
As as time goes by, I'm finding that harder and harder to believe.
Well, what do you believe with this bloody program, honestly? That's a good question, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Email us at hello@thesidershed.com.
What do you believe?
What do you believe in the Archers? I don't want to hear about, you know, ghosts and flat earth.
Yes, it's interesting. I quite liked that Kirsty just went, yeah, looks like a bit of a prospect here. I'm going to run with it. What's the harm? buddy. You know, that's all right, isn't it? They're both single, presumably, at this point.
I like the way he was like, so, you know, why are you single? I was like, Kirsty, do not say a word. Well,
it started.
I was with this guy, and then he dumped me on my wedding day. And then I found love with, like, a much older slave master, and that didn't really work out. And yeah, here I am. At this point, you know, Eric's entered the Am and he's swimming back to wherever he came from.
He's tying a big stone around a piece of rope on his ankle.
We got to hear a Kirsty scream, though. Haven't heard that since the vestry on wedding day. Everyone thought she was going to let out a big scream when Philip was exposed, but she didn't. She was quite measured, wasn't she?
Yeah, she's probably screaming now. Didn't you think when he jumped in the water, there was a very long time between the jump and the splash?
She said he ran into the river, but I thought he'd cannonballed off a cliff.
It was very long, wasn't it? I wondered if he'd climbed a tree, or is there a cliff on the Am? Was it the Am even? I didn't pay attention to where they were.
There is another river that they go wild swimming in, isn't there? And I can't bloody remember the name of it, in the Archers. I think that's where Harrison and Fallon went swimming. The Perch?
Ah, yes, yes, yes. You're right.
Yeah, I'd like to run two bits of audio side by side and hear what took longer, Eric to hit the water or Nigel to hit the floor.
Yeah.
Because there was quite a long moment where Nigel screamed and someone actually went as far as to work out rate equals time times time, how long he'd actually fell for.
Yeah, and actually worked out that it wasn't Grey Gables, was it? It was Lower Loxley, that it must have been a tower block, actually. All this time we've thought of it as a lovely chintzy old hall.
Yeah, it was like Alan Rickman falling off the building at the end of Die Hard. Just keeps going and going and going and going. By the way, all of this is fueled by the fact that Jakob isn't there, which is great, isn't it? Because now it's building up in our head about what's going to happen with this sibling rivalry when he comes back. He's away.
Yeah. At Belgium.
He's obviously just ODing on Sprouts, isn't he? He's in a hotel room somewhere. He's in a hotel in Brussels getting smashed into Sprouts. Kate missed a trick. She said he was vet networking. Well, surely that's vet working.
I didn't like that she kept dissing Jakob at every turn. You know, he got this smart speaker out, Eric, didn't he? And she was like, oh, Jakob wouldn't let us have one of those because he thinks that everyone's spying on us through that or something.
I'm totally down with Jakob being a massive conspiracy theorist, though. That makes sense, doesn't it?
And Jakob wouldn't have tequila shots. He'd have us going home after half a shandy on a school night.
We're getting fed this idea that Eric is really fun. Where does it end, though? Fun. You know, an old friend of mine used to make me feel better when I'd open up my wallet on a Sunday morning and nothing would be in there. And he'd just say, Matthew, you can't put a price on fun. Well, maybe we're going to find out that you can with Eric.
Yes, definitely. There is something wrong here. He's rocked up. Jakob's away, so he can just spin yarns, can't he? And also, what's wrong with having colour-coded boxes for your Lego? And your books in alphabetical order and doing your homework early. I didn't like that there was there's some ridiculing Jakob whilst he's away. It's not nice.
That's quite true to life, though, don't you think? That a brother might tap into the things that his sibling's partner doesn't like about them. And, you know, he's saying that they're still fine and they're adults now, but there is still that tendency with brothers and sisters to find things to moan about, and quite often they go to their life partner just to kind of say, oh yeah, he is annoying, isn't he? Or she does do that. Doesn't that annoy
you?
Sounds
like this has happened to you, Matthew.
Only about 37 times.
But Kate started it immediately. She was like, would you like something about biscuits, wasn't it? Jakob doesn't buy biscuits. She was the ones, you know, she did the biscuit thing. She did the smart speaker thing. She did the he doesn't drink thing.
Yeah, that's the whole shtick, isn't it? That Jakob's going to come back and seem quite stuffy by comparison, I think. But yeah, hopefully he's back next week. He's getting his stomach pumped from all the sprouts that he's eating right now. He'll be back and maybe we're going to learn a little bit more about our Eric next week.
Oh, God, you know what? I've only just now realised it's Brussels sprouts, isn't it?
Oh, for God's sake, Kerry.
Sorry.
Why do you think I was saying bloody it?
I don't know. Well, he likes sprouts. I thought he's doing it in secret somewhere abroad.
No, because he's gone to Brussels.
I know now.
Okay.
A bit slow on the uptake. At least I admitted that I was having an aneurysm.
All right, so we've done Eric. Eric, yeah. Interacting with Kay. Alistair was quite charmed by him in the bull, wasn't he? Kirst is getting it on with him as we speak, which is, you know, I keep getting a mental image of that. I don't know why, because I've seen a photo of the actor.
Of Eric?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Ah, because him and Russ could have a voice off, couldn't they? You know, if they ever are at Great Gables together. It's going to be amazing.
I did actually ask when I was on Cider Shed Twitter yesterday, what would be their celebrity name? I think someone said Kirik.
Oh.
Because the best suggestion we had when it was going to be Kirsty and Adil was that it would be Kill, which I thought was very good. But Adil and Lily, we've now decided, is Lidl, isn't it?
Yes, that's good.
Another annoying thing, the bloody window. My blood boils every time this story gets brought up.
I thought it was dead, buried, done with, dusted. And then Kate is thinking she's being really clever by killing Alan. I was all excited when she said that.
Do you know what? I was listening to that on the walk home and I had it on my phone and my dentist called me. And, you know, because if you're listening to something on your phone, like it just cuts over whatever you're listening to. And she went, "We're going to kill Alan." And then it just went silent. I was like, bloody hell. Who's writing the scripts this week? This is nuts. But yeah, when I went back, it was with kindness, which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, he'll know that that's happening, won't he? And it was horrible to hear Kate saying that Peggy's generous offer was biffed aside by Alan. And, you know, she's obviously clearly still outraged that he's said no to that. And it's your decision, Alan. The bishop has told us.
Yeah, I mean, if I came to your place and offered you £200 and I would cover the cost of you to put a statue of me in your front garden, Kerry, would you consider that generous?
Well, not 200 quid, no.
Oh, you'd want more? Name your price,
250.
Kerry. Done.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it?
Nothing generous about it, is it? It's just complete self-promotion by one of the shittiest family in the village.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the show is named after them. Bastards.
Yeah, because I said that on Twitter about, oh, God, the archers and this bloody window. And people go, it's not really the arch at Jill's side of it, is it? It's not the archers at all, really.
Mm.
It's all Peggy's side. Oh, still horrific. Well, Jill's side of it and Peggy's side of it are awful, aren't they?
Yeah. Really. I mean, and let's not forget, we had a bit of Pat this week.
Pat chat. Pat chat. Pat chat. Pat
chat. Pat chat. There you go. So her and Adam were packing up the veg boxes at Bridge Farm, and Adam had an amazing idea.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? I liked that Adam was in it this week, though. The first time he was in it, he sounded as weird as he always does. Going, exactly. That would be great.
Do you know who I thought Pat was?
Who?
I thought it was Pitt. And I've realised Pat sounds like a slightly older Pitt. She's got that wobble
in
the voice. And then I very quickly realised, because of the context, that it
was
our
Pat. That's interesting. Yeah, because I thought that Kate sounded exactly like Linda in the episode where she was shouting at Rex, who was fixing the roof in the rain.
She does a bit, yeah, but
really
Linda's a little bit more queenie, isn't she?
Mm.
But yeah, I know what you mean. So the edible forest.
The edible forest. Well, is it a forest of edibles, which would be quite interesting? I'd quite like a ticket to that one. imagine like all comers from around the county coming and having the edibles that are sort of dangling from trees.
Eric could probably set them up.
Yes. Or is it a forest of trees with pizza dangling from them? That was my first thought before he actually told us that what it actually is a glorified allotment.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it was going to be very high kind of redwoods and pine trees, did it? I mean, my first thought with Adam and how you like to depict him on Twitter, an edible forest, for him, that's practically cannibalism.
It is, isn't it? I mean, good grief. They're going to plant it and it'll be ready in May, this whole thing. Obviously, they tried to have a bit of tension of will Tom like it, will Tom freak out because he's mercurial, according to Pat, very romantically put. But when Adam listed that there'd be herbaceous borders with rhubarb, artichokes, onions, chives, gooseberries, raspberries, red currants, apples and plum trees.
Nice note taking there, Kerry.
Yep. Would visitors actually go to this?
No.
Like, oh, here's an allotment.
I mean, you can go to a fruit picking place, pick your own for a fiver and walk out with some fruit and it's exactly the same experience. It didn't sound, you know, imagine going there on a wet day. And just standing.
Being greeted by Adam.
Yeah, or Pat and Tony, God forbid. I mean, did you know that they had open farm Sundays on Bridge Farm?
Yeah, that's been a thing for a while, hasn't it? Don't you remember they sort of do those awful like lecture tour type things, don't they? But I mean, they sound awful as well. But Adam thinks this is going to be a great way to build sales, that people will come and look at this half acre plot of bushes.
Is this just an agricultural storyline they're throwing in?
Are people really doing this with any success, though? I mean, who would pay to... I don't understand. Is the sales bit that they're buying the stuff anyway and then they go, look, that's where it came from over there. That's our edible... It's not a f***ing forest, for one thing, is it? I mean, the closest it gets to a forest is the apple tree and the plum tree.
Come visit the veg patch, kids. They'll all be bloody crying.
I know. We've got an allotment over here. Do you want to see it now? I didn't think you would.
Mummy, that strange man over there wanted to show me his allotment.
That robot-voiced stranger keeps pointing at his bushes.
I mean, it's just absolutely diabolical idea. Hopefully Natasha just gets wind of it and puts them straight.
And I love, like, Tom's reaction was so bad. He went, you had me at Edible Forest Gardens. And then it sounded like Adam punched him.
Yeah, he decked him.
Yeah. I really wish that. I wish Tom went, what'd you do that for? Thought you liked the idea.
He is very hard to read, Tom, you know, so you sometimes just have to lay him out.
Oh god.
Yeah, well, I'm not too invested in it. I think me and Kerry said before the podcast, edible forest, we'll just say how shit that is and move on. Yes. Poor old Jim, he's torn on the best man thing, isn't he?
Oh, I love him so much. His little wavering voice. And it was his birthday recently, wasn't it?
In real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a picture on Twitter that I think we retweeted it anyway.
82, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. Looked absolutely divine.
He looked much more like Jim in that photo than he does on his headshot on the Archer's page.
Yeah. I loved that he was worried about not being able to do a stag do in Magaluf.
What might perk Jim up is if he finds out in Felpersham there's a strip club called Cicero's.
And I really wanted his whole best man speech to just there to be a whole episode of just his best man speech in Latin, preferably.
Yes.
And we don't have to make any notes for that episode.
Yeah, I mean, they came to it later, but I thought, why not Alistair? Alistair is like the perfect compromise, isn't it? He's Jim's son. He can get lots of input from Jim. Yeah, so it's going to be a joint Ed-Jim job.
Yeah.
Something's got to go wrong there, hasn't it?
Oh, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Because the way that they use superlatives on this show, when Jim ended Tuesday's episode by saying, like, this is going to be the best day of your life. I was like, a bloody plane's coming through the roof, isn't it?
Yeah, I did. That was the very last phrase, wasn't it? It's like, oh God, what's going to happen? Although they did do that with Tom because Pat sort of went, he'll probably love it as soon as he hears it. And I thought, oh God, he's going to go mental.
Do you remember when Adam just went on walkabout and started fruit picking at Bridge Farm instead of working at Home Farm?
Yeah.
Tony really started getting into a load of Adam's ideas, and he kept going to Tom going, you know, Adam said this, and Tom in the end was like, I don't fucking care what Adam said. Shut up. And I was just waiting for him to do the same. So,
yeah, it was almost disappointing that Tom went, yeah, it's a great idea. It's typical that he loves the idea that we're all going, what a shit idea that is. But yeah, back to Jim. I think he definitely should have been best man. He's really helped Jazza. He's his role model. He's his rock, isn't he? And he did say to him, you are the best man I know.
Oh, that was lovely, wasn't it?
Nice. Yeah. And he doesn't want a stag do that's a blokey stag do, Jazza, does he?
Doesn't sound like it. Mm. He's pushing 40, isn't he, Jazza?
I don't know.
I think maybe he's over 40. I don't know. I got the impression
that blokes who are around 40 or over, they're not interested in strippers, are they?
Absolutely not. I'd rather rip my own eyes out than see a woman in a state of undress.
Yes. It'll be good. It'll be good. What a disaster could happen between Ed and Jim?
The logs were teased again this week, weren't they? Which suddenly made me what? Kate asked, did you ever find out who your log thief was?
Yes.
And Rex, who was clearly coming down with hypothermia because he's up on the roof in the driving rain trying to fix a roof that they got some cowboy built. Obviously no decent builders around the village anymore. I wonder where they all went. He's there trying to fix this dodgy roof that they had. Kate's giving him a hard time while he's up there about inhaling ions or something. Sounded like she'd been bloody inhaling them.
Rain is good for resilience. It creates ionized air that helps antibodies and immunity. Well, not for him, it didn't.
Yeah, he's practically dying up there. He's like, could I have some of that chai? No.
Yeah, chai was mentioned a lot, wasn't it, this week?
So, yeah, and then she said, well, they went into the shepherd's hut, and I think she said, did you ever find your log thief? Don't you have a
wildlife camera?
Yeah, and Rex kind of said, oh, no, the battery was out. Does Kirsty know? That's the bit I couldn't remember.
Good question.
Is she not in? Does she not know that Rex discovered the whole thing and it was just so embarrassing with his crossed wires that it's just forgotten?
Yeah, probably. I don't remember Kirsty saying anything about it.
No, Rex helped them put the logs back.
Yeah.
Didn't he? But I don't think Kirsty...
She's got other things on her mind. She's not going to be thinking about logs, is she?
She might be climbing one as we speak, Kerry.
Climbing?
So I didn't know if she was playing along with Rex or if she genuinely thinks that somewhere off mic he told her, the battery wasn't working in the camera.
Yeah.
Because he watched all of that with Tony, didn't he, in the pub?
Which
was a bit awkward. So maybe there's something to come with that. But I mean, the log thing isn't a massive scandal, isn't it?
Then poor Jim had to deal with the absolutely preposterous volunteer shop advert and interview session, didn't he?
Yeah, because it's on him, according to Susan. She's a right bloody dictator in that shop, isn't she?
Yeah, not half. I loved it that she said she doesn't want the new person to be anyone who thinks they know it all or wants to take over or talks too much or judges people. She's just basically described herself. And Jim kept making little pointed remarks to her about her, which completely probably went over her head.
There was a little bit where Joy was there. She worked in menswear and yellow Y-fronts anecdote, all very good. Yeah. And she said that, you know, I was able to hide my feelings even when these people were wearing these diabolical clothes in front of me. So then she said, I could send you my CV. I was like, I want her CV. I want to know who she is.
Yes.
Please, just send it straight to me.
What a good opportunity to learn all about what she's been up to. But Susan was quite funny, was she? No need to do that.
I imagine they were both pinned up against the wall, like a strong wind was blowing them. And then when she walked out, Susan went, that woman, and Jim just went, you don't like her, do you? I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. But I did like it when Jim said to Susan, none of us are perfect, are we, Susan?
She's too close to see it, isn't she? And then I thought I'd missed an episode because Jim says, I spoke to Justin and Justin's going to come in and say, hang on, when did that happen?
I know. The most unlikely candidate to volunteer in the shop is our Justin. So now there's all this conspiracy theory on Twitter about, you know, is he going in there to win all the locals round so that he can muscle in on council stuff? Someone said that they thought he's getting loads of knowledge from what people buy in the shop and stuff because he's bought the land and he's going to build a supermarket.
I like that.
I know. Mm. And even Lillian said, everyone will be saying that the reason you're volunteering there has got some ulterior motive behind it.
Matt got a little shout out this week, didn't he? Matt,
yes. When she was talking to Kate in the orangery over her Welsh rarebit.
Do you think he could be coming back? I mean, they mention him by name. And Kate said, well, Justin's never had to flee the country. Like Matt. And I was like, ooh, bring him back.
Yes, because it was all a bit like, oh, you don't half pick him, don't you?
This is going to be a bloody nightmare, though, isn't it? Justin just seems to want to taser shoplifters. I don't know. I like that bit where they said, you know, sometimes the papers are mixed up. Yeah. And Susan said, yeah, you can't be delivering a Guardian to a Telegraph reader. And I thought Justin was going to say, I once killed a paperboy for that.
Yeah.
Woke bullshit nonsense landed on my doorstep.
Yeah, I did ask on Twitter who would be the Guardian reader in the village. And I got a few answers. What's your thinking on that?
I reckon Alistair reads the Guardian.
Okay.
I reckon Jim, probably without realising how heinous he's being, probably reads the Times or the Telegraph, which is a bit sad, yeah. But I think he probably does. Jazz is a sun man, isn't he?
Oh, God.
He takes it in the toilet with him.
I bet Susan's Daily Mail.
Oh, 100% she is. Yeah.
That august publication.
That august publication.
That august publication. That august publication.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Who do you think? The Guardian reader? Yeah, I mean, Alistair...
Kirsty
for sure.
Russ. She was the one solid one that I thought, yes, that is true. Russ. Someone said Linda, and I just thought, no, she's a bit snobby. I think she'd go to the Times or something like that.
I could see Robert having the Guardian and her having the Times. I imagine them very much like that couple on Gogglebox.
Nutty.
Something and Mary. I can't remember what the other guy's name is. They always rhyme with it.
They call each other nutty, don't they? They're quite right wing. Well, she is.
Oh, is she?
Bloody awful. I don't like her.
I don't really know much about them, to be honest. It's just one of those things that I see when I'm back in the UK.
Guardian reader. Oh, what about Rex? He was suggested as well as a possible.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. Kate as well.
Ooh, yeah. But she wouldn't read it. She'd probably just buy it to leave around as if she reads it. I bet she wouldn't read it, would she? Oh, that's another thing. You know when she was saying about, because Lillian said, oh, I'm looking forward to going on the hotel break with your mum. And Kate said, oh, they were very generous with their Christmas presents. I felt bad with what I bought. What on earth did she buy people for Christmas? It's going to be awful stuff, isn't it? I was thinking some sort of Hessian table mats or...
It was a box of highly ionised compounds that you just had to inhale.
Yeah, a tiny sort of crystal or something.
David got a little mention this week, wasn't it? Someone, Kirsty said, I saw David. He looked like sad or depressed. And Kate went, that's weird. I was like, no, it's not, Kate. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because they'd seen them stomp out of the restaurant, hadn't they? And they had twigged that there might have been a bit of a ruckus with Vince. Yeah, and Jennifer, bless her, she's obviously got this mention with the hotel break, which is coming up next week. How are they going to deal with Jennifer?
Not, I don't know.
Returning and what have you.
It's a tough
possibly.
Subject, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, we've remained tight-lipped about it, haven't we? But I think it's out there now, so.
Yeah. That she's not very well, so yeah.
Yeah, she hasn't been in good health now. So obviously, all of our thoughts with the actor.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make this particular gear change, but what are they going to do with Robert?
Yes, good point. Yeah, I don't know. I think as well. I think because of these two things, maybe this is why there's been some strange little filler type things going on with the episodes of late. That, you know, having prepared in advance, obviously they're not going to have thought that that these two things would happen. It must be very tricky for the scriptwriters, mustn't it, to deal with that.
Kerry, I have something I want to know from last week.
Yeah.
When we were talking about dealing with depression and you know, and medication, but you said it's not a linear journey. Then you pulled yourself back and said, oh, why have I said that? I hate journey. And then you said trajectory. Do you mean Journey the band?
There is a band called Journey, isn't it? What on earth did they sing?
Don't Stop Believing.
I bet you know. Oh, my God.
Which had a complete renaissance because it was the final song of the final episode of The Sopranos.
Was it?
It was. And then I remember being in a nightclub in Dublin in about 2007.
Of course, yeah. Every night.
And,
yeah.
And Don't Stop Believing, just DJ dropped that in the middle of the night. And I remember asking it was a works night out. And I remember asking this young guy called Daryl, like, why are they playing this? And he went, it's because of The Sopranos. It's completely relaunched it.
Ah, god-awful song. I haven't seen The Sopranos.
Okay. So Seinfeld and The Sopranos. Did you watch the Seinfeld clip I sent you, Kerry?
Ooh, remind me what it was. I think I did.
Jerry Seinfeld channeling David, where he's trying to be depressive in a restaurant.
No, did you describe that? I don't know if you did send it.
I sent it on WhatsApp.
Oh, shit. No, I didn't see
that.
And
it's in the link of our episode from last week.
Ah, good. Lovely. I look forward to seeing that. I didn't even know you'd
said. Do you know who I am, Kerry?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Am I a stranger that's invited you to see my allotment?
I've paid my money to see this sodding allotment. Now what? No, I will look at that clip. I'm so sorry. You know what it's like. We're busy people.
We are. We're very busy, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're really busy people and we have to fit this shit in as well on top of all the busy stuff we do.
Well, on the back of that, bigging ourselves up, let's have our second ad.
Yes.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Okay, Kerry, so if people want to kind of put an arm around us and make us feel better for having to pull apart this. It was actually a good week, wasn't it, I think, in terms of entertainment.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Where can they get in touch with us on Twitter?
Yes, please come to at the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter. Twitter's sort of a bit odd at the moment because of it keeps changing daily how you use it and look at stuff and people's timelines are going a bit weird. But just go to at the Cider Shed Pod and you'll be happy all day long, is what I would say. We've got 2,894 followers. We're creeping ever nearer to the 3,000 mark. God knows what I'll do when that happens. but yeah, it's a really good, fun tweet along on our Twitters.
Yeah, we've got an Instagram which has exactly the same moniker as that, at the Cider Shed Pod. Up to 621 followers on there, and we were late bloomers on Instagram. I try to make it as entertaining as possible. Yeah, so just getting back into the groove after Christmas, I'll be a bit more active on there. Actually, I should say at this point, before we get on to how you leave a review, I got someone slid into my DMs. Kate slid into the Cider Shed DMs saying that they couldn't work the Apple link to leave a review from their Samsung phone in Australia. And she thought that might be like the kind of a cross-app issue or cross-tech issue. But I helpfully replied, hey, Kate, you know what? I've never even tried to do it, but I'm guessing it can be done from any computer. I bet you're glad you asked an expert. Then she came back And she wrote, well, here's my review, which says 5 stars, funnier than the show itself and worth.
Well, of course. I mean, for a start. God, can you imagine if it wasn't?
Funnier than the show itself and worth listening to for the Cochrane anecdote alone. Well, I believe, did we talk about that before the show? We can't quite remember the Cochrane anecdote.
Yeah, and then it's not ringing a bell.
Oh, you stole my bloody joke, Kerry. I gave that to you before we started.
I thought you were queuing me up then.
Yeah, no, I did. So worth listening to for the Cochrane anecdote alone. I look forward all week to each episode, which fills the archerless void that is Saturdays. Of course it does, because we come out on a Saturday for the patrons. And love it. Can't recommend it enough. Thanks, Kate. I did send her a little video on how to post on Apple Podcast or iTunes. So maybe that will appear there, but I wanted to give it its due. Also, you can support us on Patreon by going to www.patreon.com/thecidershed. We are going to try and do a few more things for Patreon as the year goes on that we can fit in. But one thing you do get is the episode early, generally on a Saturday, and ad free.
I was just going to say, though, about the Patreon thing, it's, you know, even a tiny bit each month really, really helps us, doesn't it, Matthew? It's, don't be scared about, oh, I can't afford, you know, a tenner or a couple of pounds a month is really great. It really helps us.
Yeah, you know, it kind of fills the gap that I've refused classes to be here on Fridays to do this. So yeah, it does. It's a big help. Yeah, we've got a Facebook group called the Cider Shed Podcast. Yeah, if people want to leave the review, then they just go over to iTunes, look up the Cider Shed Podcast or the Cider Shed, and pen your review. Kerry, hopes. Do I have to mention football?
Yes. It's a big weekend.
Well, I forgot to do my team. That's the first thing.
So did I, yes. I don't know if Max did our one that's in this league.
At half-time, Aston Villa are still beating Leeds, I see.
Oh, dear. Oh, Chelsea didn't have a good week, did they?
Chelsea haven't had a good year, really.
Yeah, since Potter joined. It's all gone downhill. I'm sorry about that, Matthew.
Yeah, it's all right. I think...
You stole Potter and now look.
I think the entire first team is out injured, which doesn't help. And I read today, there's more first teamers out than there is actually available. Someone was saying today that the team that is currently on the treatment table would smash the team that's on the field. So yeah, and then even
with their injuries.
Yeah, probably. I mean, right. Then we spent big 8 million on Joao Felix, who came in last night, attacker, looked really good at the beginning, and then got red carded on his debut. Just lost in the moment. He wanted to impress. Reached for a ball he couldn't get to and basically studs up on someone's knee. So yeah, yeah.
Even
go.
You were laughing about the whole debacle, weren't you?
Oh, there just comes a point where every now and again Chelsea have a complete capitulation, and I think you just have to enjoy it. You just have to think, right, go on, give me something else has to happen. So like another guy got injured last night and then another guy got sent off. It's just...
Arsenal are playing Spurs on Sunday tea time. The North London derby, that's a big one. I'll definitely be shouting at my TV. Enjoy, I'm sure. We're going to smash them, aren't we?
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't mind Arsenal being stopped in their tracks, really. I think they've had some fun. Now let's all go home. They can't.
Not against Spurs, though, Matthew.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Okay, Kerry. Well,
yeah.
I'm not going to be, just to compound everything, I'm signed out of the football and it doesn't remember my password, so I can't tell you anything that's happening.
Okay.
I mean, I could try again. Oh, I'm in.
Oh, good. Hang on.
Well, I can tell you, as of now, I've got nil points because I've got no teams that are playing. I'm sitting in 13th on Friday the 13th on exactly 1,000 points.
You've gone up one then. You were 14th last week.
No, I was 12th. Wasn't I 12th last week?
No, I don't think so. Mm. Oh, well, you're hovering around the mid-table.
Yeah, Peter's still bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 4th, Kerry. You haven't moved either.
Mm-hmm.
A few injuries in your team, though. You should have looked at that. Saka's probably not playing this weekend.
Max can't have looked then. Bless
him. It says 75% chance of playing, so you know you can take a risk. Okay, So, Kerry, my hopes for next week, and I'm going to go and have a look at the episode descriptions in a bit, is for Jakob to come crashing back in, completely, totally sprout detoxed. He's going to come back, you know, because he was in Belgium, Kerry, where Brussels
sprouts.
Yeah. Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back in and go, what the bloody hell's going on? I hope no one shagged him. Please tell me no one shagged him. And then Kirsty's going to be like, oh, actually, I have.
Yeah. And Jakob will say, his wife's arriving tomorrow.
Bloody brilliant.
I'm pretty sure of it. Yeah.
Imagine if we find out he's Nolatando's boyfriend.
I was just going to say, what I want to happen is that Nolatando either comes to Ambridge or Kate goes out to Nolatando and we have an episode of them too.
Yeah, I reckon he's going to get a gig in South Africa, Eric, and Kate's going to hook up with him in South Africa.
Blimey.
It's Cape Town, isn't it, where Nolatando is?
Cape Town.
I
did like it when the Nolatando thing, where she went, oh, that's my phone making that noise that you can hear. It's Nolatando. She split up with her boyfriend. He dumped her on her birthday. That she was really in love with him. Her birthday was a week ago. Don't know why she took so long to tell me. And then Kirsty sort of went, oh, call her, call. And she went, no, I've got to set my class up. And Kirsty had to start going, oh, go on, ring her.
It's like shitty, toxic masculinity top trumps, though, isn't it? What's worse, to get dumped on your birthday or jilted on your wedding day? She says, like, she's there giving it to Kirsty. Who knows?
Yeah. 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 They haven't mentioned that for no reason, have they? Something will. I hope Nolatando appears and some trouble will ensue, I'm sure. Some angst.
I thought it was feeding the idea that she might travel. And Eric will be in the middle of that somewhere.
Oh, well, you're rarely wrong.
I don't know about that. But I'll take it. Kerry, right, plans for the evening?
Oh, none.
Okay, all right. No massive session in the diary?
No. I'm sort of quite dry this January.
You need an Eric in your life.
Oh, edible forest. I'm going to tend to my edible forest, I think.
Yeah, suddenly it doesn't sound like such a bad idea.
Mm. Oh, dear. Yeah, a lovely, relaxed weekend ahead, apart from the Arsenal-Spurs game when I'll be going nuts.
I will catch up with you, no doubt, over the weekend. Thanks to everyone for listening. Mm. And, see you soon.
Yeah, see you next week.
Bye.